At 8 p.m. on Friday, February 25th, President Obama's order to freeze Libyan assets went into effect. According to a story in today's Washington Post, moments later, the Treasury Department, working with America's biggest banks, implemented a remarkably fast and far-reaching strategy. Treasury officials had expected to shut down $100 million worth of assets, but moving as quickly as they did, they froze more than $32 billion. That Friday also happened to be the last day on the job for the man behind the plan, Stuart Levy, who was then Undersecretary of the Treasury for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence. He's now a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations and joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Robert.
And tell us first about how the estimate of what it was you were freezing moved from $100 million to over $30 billion.
Well, it was a surprise to us as well, Robert. We did have indications from some of our discussions with financial institutions in the United States that there was at least $100 million or so of assets attributable to the government of Libya in the United States, and we thought that was enough to cause us to act quickly. But during the course of that day, Friday, the 25th of February, we did get indication that the sum was closer to $30 billion, and that did heighten our sense of urgency, and we did get the executive order signed by the president that day, and the money apparently did get frozen.
Well, one day seems to be an awfully fast time to achieve all this, and is the speed behind it because of the way banking is done or because it was Libya? How do you describe the promptness?
I think that what was remarkable in terms of speed was how fast we were able to go from a decision to design a sanctions program for Libya to getting it actually signed and in effect. Financial institutions around the world over time have become quite used to this sort of action by the United States. They have well-developed kind of software programs that help them identify these sorts of assets, particularly when we give them names that they can look for on accounts and so forth. And so they were able to block those assets quickly.
This sum of money, this $32 billion, I gather that all or nearly all of it was in a single bank.
That is the indication that we have, yes.
Can you tell us where that was? It a Swiss bank, for example?
I can't help you with that, Robert, I'm sorry to say. They can identify themselves if they wish.
Were these funds nominally the money of the Republic of Libya, of the Gaddafi family, of Muammar Gaddafi himself? Whose money was it?
This executive order that President Obama signed that evening blocked the assets of a few categories. It was Muammar Gaddafi, his sons that were named, as well as the assets of the government of Libya, which would include the central bank, the sovereign wealth fund, the Libyan investment authority, and so forth. And we had identified as one category of people who could be sanctioned senior government officials, but we did not name those people that night. And part of the reason for not doing so was to create an incentive for those people to defect.
Do we know if there were defections in that window of opportunity?
Well, that window of opportunity is still open for most government officials in Libya, and certainly news reports indicate there are government officials that are doing that. The real urgency on that Friday was that we knew there was a significant sum of money in the jurisdiction of the United States. What we wanted to make sure didn't happen is that there'd be asset flight, that the money leave United States jurisdiction over the weekend or on Monday, and then Gaddafi has access to it.
How does that work? If I'm a banker and I'm reading the papers and listening to the news and hearing that Libya is in very bad odor and there could be sanctions of all sorts, if I get a call from Tripoli suggesting a transfer of funds or a withdrawal, are my ethical obligations as a banker to comply with the depositor's request, to await action from the Treasury? What do I do?
You have asked a very important question. So we were having just those sorts of conversations on that Friday, and these financial institutions are quite worried. Their anxiety about that is one of the principal reasons why we thought it was critical to get an executive order in place immediately so that we could say, you can't move it, you're legally obliged to freeze it.
It must have been a very exciting day.
It was quite an eventful last day on the job, yes.
Okay, well, Stuart Levy, whose job in those days was as Under-Treasury Secretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence, now at the Council on Foreign Relations. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.